Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, it's always a pleasure to welcome Conor Skean in for a chat. While you may not always agree with him, he is always thought-provoking and often talks far more sense than those in power. Conor, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby. How can I live up to that?
Well, it's been a big week in housing, Conor, and I just was reading your article. I think it was in last Sunday's Indo, and I read it with really good interest, and I said I really need to talk to you about said article, because I wanted my first question to you was, how delighted were you when you heard the government wanted the Land Development Agency to start building houses?
My polite version is I just sighed and read back on my predictions back in 2018 that this would end up in tears. Remember that when I was chair of the housing agency, one of my jobs was overseeing the winding up of the National Building Agency, which was the last time Ireland tried to do this, and that ended in tears.
Right. So another sort of quango, another not really thought out solution. Can we just go back maybe to the fundamentals that, you know, more houses being built doesn't equal lower prices? So says you. Is that right?
Yeah. That's the great myth. The great myth is if we keep throwing more houses at it, we'll solve the problem. Sure, if that had worked back in the 2000s when we were building 100,000 a year, the prices should have fallen through the floor. They didn't. The prices kept rising. They only started to fall after the country bankrupted itself by building the wrong kinds of houses in the wrong places at the wrong price. So the main problem with housing isn't about supply. It's about investors who are a completely different mechanism that never get satisfied by no matter how many you build. They just want to pour more capital into it. And if they do that, they push the prices up and they push the houses away from people who are trying to start themselves off in housing.
But is everybody not an investor when it comes to housing?
Exactly. This is the problem. We're all telling ourselves lies. So the very same parents who are fretting and complaining that their poor kids can't afford a house are the exact same parents who kind of smugly hear from a neighbour, sure, the house next door went up by €150,000 since the last one sold. So as all of us delight in the price of our own homes going up, we are unaware of the fact or unwilling to admit to ourselves that we're all speculators, every one of us. We all see housing as a financial asset and not as a service, not as a thing to live in.
Well, let's just follow that through then. So in other words, if we were to change behaviour, or do we need to look at houses differently? So do we need to say, this is my house, I want to get on the ladder, I'm going to buy it and I'm never going to sell it?
We have to start treating housing as an investment. We've got rules about how we treat investment and income from investments, and we treat housing the same as those. That means taxing investors in the same way as how homeowners in the same way as we tax investors. Interest relief only where you're providing, for instance, a new home. We need to stop regarding it as being a subsidised form of asset, which the government subsidise. It's endless capital gains are dangerous, and we've got to treat them. And the central bank in particular have got to draw the government's attention to the behaviour that gives rise to the continuously rising expectation of making free capital gains on your home.
So if we move on then from the whole system being designed to leverage and not to live in, because I think that's exactly what you're saying, that we're all trying to leverage stuff here in property, and the focus isn't on living in the house.
That's right. So we're dealing with, you know, the economists say regard everything as being either a supply solution or a demand solution. So every piece of government policy for the last umpteen years has been about supply side solutions. We've got to stop that. We've got to start to address the demand side. And the demand side means starting to deal with houses being viewed as an investment. They are not. They are services to live in. The President of all of China and myself have agreed on that. President Xi said a house is a thing to live in, not to speculate on. And if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. And he has seen his entire economy destroyed by people regarding housing as an investment.
Does that mean that we don't want overseas investors owning houses in this country?
No, we don't. I'm not saying we don't want them, but we've got to treat it like an investment. So we have to tax investment properties differently to people's homes. We have to license buy-to-let purchases. We have to link tax reliefs to new supply only. We have to have proper enforcement of vacancy and dereliction premises. We've got to implement a national land value tax. We have to zone for owner occupation. We have to strengthen tenure security for affordable tenants. Models. We have to increase transparency of ownership so we can see what's happening. And most of all, we have to align tax planning and finance with affordability outcomes. We have to measure our success in terms of have we made housing more affordable, not more available. Pursuing availability for its own sake will get us nothing. All the way back when I was chairman of the housing agency, I used to say that the solution to everything to do with housing, and I would put a slide up in front of everybody, and it was just covered in the same word over and over again, affordability, affordability, affordability. There is no point in having houses available if they're not affordable. And affordable is very well defined as being a particular multiple of a household income. It's about three times the household income. If you're not hitting that, it's not affordable.
And is one of the main issues, Conor, that, you know, when you bring in incentives, essentially the wrong people get them?
That's part, yeah. We're incentivizing everybody except the homeowner. So somebody decides that they're a landowner, they've got tax incentives that a homeowner can only dream of in terms of writing off their capital and their expenditures. We've got to treat it first and foremost as something that you live in. And everything is about the living in it and living in it affordably. We've got to address that. And that will modify people's behaviour. Long, slow message. But it's one of the biggest examples you can get of people being in self-deluding denial. We are the problem. We are the problem. And the point of having something as wonderful, and I'm a huge fan of the central bank, as wonderful as the central bank, is they are the people who tell us things we need to hear and not what we want to hear. So that's, for instance,
can they mortgages. Can they be trusted, I say that, to govern this? Can they be, because they let us down before.
They did, and just, you know, when you make a mistake, one of the things you can do is pick yourself up, dust yourself off and say, well, we're not making that mistake again. Lightly or poorly managed and poorly regulated finance for housing was a big part of our problem in the past. We have a really good, strong-backed central bank at the moment, and they've got to rise to the challenge here. And that challenge is telling these things we need to hear.
And how long do you think, you know, if we got serious about this and we embraced a lot of the sort of thinkings that you're talking about there, how long would it be before we'd actually see, like, is this something that could be achieved in a number of years?
It's a slow enough fix, Bobby, and yeah. It's about 3 or 4 years. I mean, the first thing you have to do is just stop the fall before you start to see a recovery. So it has been tried successfully in Canada and New Zealand and other places where their central banks have intervened about this. It's not a quick fix, but like, we've been in free fall now for 15 years, Bobby, and every single time I open the papers, there's somebody else proposing another scheme that's going to fix everything. That's part of the problem, if we're to be completely honest.
We have too many schemes.
Too many schemes, we change the rules too often. And if you're sitting there with a piece of land down in Wicklow that you're thinking of turning over to housing, sure, why would you take a chance that you're not getting the best possible return on incentives from the government? Sure, I'll wait another year. There might be another one. I'll wait another year so that the land isn't going anywhere, you know? So constantly changing the rules is incredibly distorting for the certainty required for investment.
You mentioned one rule there about penalising vacancy meaningfully and enforcing penalties. Like, yeah. We have rules around that. And, you know, when you see them not being enforced, you almost just throw your hands up in the air in despair.
Exactly. I mean, I have friends down in Paris, sounds very posh, and they live in terror of their lovely old premises going vacant because they know the local council will be on them after 12 months. I mean, they have a lot of leeway for the first 12 or 18 months, but as soon as that deadline passes, they're on to you punitively, and it's worse the third year, and it's even worse the fourth year. So they're terrified of letting something going vacant. You know?
Yeah. In terms of modular housing, is that, could that be part of the solution? Or again, do we think of this of solving all our woes?
Well, I used to be an architect once, for though, and I understand why people reach for something like modular housing. I don't think that the language helps it because it gives us the idea that it's something like a porta cabin, which are pieces of amazing technology in their own right. Now, I think we're better off using the word factory finished housing. I think particularly for somebody like the state who builds in large quantities, there are opportunities for us to set up procurement on a very large scale. Every piece of social housing and public housing we built has to have a toilet, has to have a front door, has to have a chimney, has to have a backyard. Imagine if Ireland bought 5 years worth of toilets. Imagine if Ireland bought 5 years worth of chimney pots, and not just ordinary ones, the best, because we go to the markets and say, give us reductions, we're going to buy in bulk, you have a guaranteed supply for 5 years. Now, every time somebody's building social housing in Ireland, there's your depot, there's the best material money can buy, and you're buying from us. That kind of procurement solution would produce amazing results in a very short time. And then you move on to factory finished. I used to do work with the UNEP, United Nations Environment Programme, and we went down seeing places that had disasters. I went down to Chile, and Chile rebuilt hundreds of thousands of houses in 2 years, and they would always give you back your house built on the same site. And they did it by erecting a factory on the outskirts of every ruined town, rebuilt your house inside this warm, dry factory, and then shipped it out in the back of a truck. And they poured the foundations on your site, and the truck went out, and over the course of 24 hours, your house was magically put back in the same place. Fantastic standards. I mean, you know, when you see something that's been finished in a factory, it's like a factory-finished car. For God's sake, you know, it's
I saw some of these in America, and I was amazed by it. The site is all ready, and again,
exactly, plug and play.
Finally, can I ask you about the announcement earlier in the week, Conor, Ireland becoming one big rent pressure zone, somewhat unexpectedly. We've had a few days to digest it.
We're all special now, Bobby. We're all special now, God's sake. I mean, listen to the words we're saying. All of Ireland is a rent pressure zone. It originally may have made some kind of a sense, but the idea of the whole country is the ultimate example of sort of the politicisation of housing to the point of it being a nonsense.
Right. Well, look, I always enjoy our chats. As I say, they're thought-provoking. This is a huge problem. It isn't going away. And we appreciate your analysis this morning, Conor.
Okay, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.